So this is a big day for two young people in our congregation who have completed what is sometimes 2 years of study in 1 year to complete the course of confirmation. And I am really proud of these two young people who were very faithful to attend confirmation class every Sunday morning for the past school year. And we have just been blessed to spend time together, and I got to know them a little bit better, and hopefully they got to know their pastor a little better. So they have prepared some things that they would like to share with you. Nathan there is a little bashful in front of crowds, but I am going to ask you to come up here. So he's not going to say anything, but he wants to present to you the project that he created. So let's walk over there, Nathan, and take a look at what you've created. And I think we've got some pictures here that you can see up there of what Nathan's created. Nathan has created out of Legos some scenes from the story of what we're celebrating today, the day of Pentecost. And so this is the room where the disciples met, and I'm just going to pick it up and read what you have here. On the day of Pentecost, all of the believers were gathered in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven, and it filled the room where they were sitting. Then what looked like tongues of fire, and he's got little tongues of fire there on these guys, appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. And then they went out in the street and they preached to everybody. And so here they are preaching. And it says, then Peter continued preaching for a long time, urging all the listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. And he has little labels where people are saying, how can this be? And they're just drunk. But then Peter says, they're not drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. It's too early for that. What you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. Nathan, I'm going to let you get those guys back in place there, okay? And then Peter called for everyone who believed in Jesus to be baptized. And so Nathan, I think very creatively, created a scene of baptism one of those early Christians. And those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all. So, Nathan, thank you so much for sharing Pentecost with us in this beautiful Lego way. You are a genius with Legos. Thank you. Thank you. And Lydia has written a paper to share with you. I'm just going to invite her to come and share that.
In a public middle school. When I was in the third grade, a friend of mine created a story about a mutated version of me. This story was called The Adventures of Lydia the Pickle, the best novel ever created. My friend later shared this story with me, and I decided to help her create more stories about Lydia the Pickle, the greatest superhero of all time. During the pandemic, I've been revising and editing the stories we wrote back then. There are two things I noticed about it. One, that we had really bad grammar skills. And two, that most of the stories were based off my experiences and emotions back in third and fourth grade. One of the most prominent events that happened during that period of time was when I told a classmate about the good news of Jesus. But the problem was that I hadn't realized at the time that a member of his had had a negative experience as a Christian. That meant that his perspective on Christianity wasn't the greatest. When I brought up the prospect of Christianity, let's just say it didn't go very well. Afterwards, I had mixed emotions. That friend and I had done and created all sorts of things together. In Lydia the Pickle, I processed that experience with my pickle self kicking him to Pluto in the form of my arch nemesis, a rutabaga. In the story, I described his unfriending of me like this. Lydia's life had turned from a funfetti cake to bland, plain oatmeal. Looking back upon that time, I realized that that was when I discovered that our sinful world has a long way to go before it gets to where God wants it to be. Since then, many things have happened. I was baptized. My grandfather died. I got glasses. The pandemic came and spoiled everything. I tried coffee, and I started middle school. Starting public middle school has been a big change for me. As a Christian, it has brought up many more doubts than before, and I had discovered more sorts of other temptations than I had ever before. Vaping and smoking often happens in the bathrooms, as well as a few other things I think are best not to mention. Cuss words are present in everyday conversation. Graffiti is found on many of the school buildings. More than an eighth of my classmates identify as LGBTQ, and some things are taught, even encouraged, that the Bible says you shouldn't do. But wait. Middle school being bad isn't what I want you to get out of my paper. It's hard to stay strong in the Christian faith, but not everything about middle school is bad. It's also full of reminders that God is real and that Jesus will one day return to earth. For example, we're learning about the study of life in science this trimester. And as we've been learning about that, my class has spent a lot of time outside, using our senses to make observations about the natural world around us. As I look around the area where we sit in silence, I'm always amazed by how much variety God created. Even just looking down at the ground, I see grasses and clovers, daisies, and many other plants. My middle school's mascot is the knight. A few of my teachers will sometimes remind my peers and I to keep our armor on, which means being respectful, kind, and honorable, so we can have a fun and simpler education. Luckily for me, as a Christian, I can easily expand the meaning of that to be keeping your spiritual armor on, or the armor of God in Ephesians 6. The shield of faith, for example, can help me stay focused on the fact that God is always with me when I face the temptations of the middle school environment. Or the belt of truth, which helps me to discern what is right and what is one of Satan's lies. My mom frequently asks me as I walk out the door to head to school, "Have you got your armor on?" At my middle school, we also have an acronym, PRIDE, which stands for Positivity, Respect, Integrity, Diligence, and Excellence. While all the things it stands for are good to have as a Christian, I also like to change the acronym to help me remember other things that I want to focus on throughout the day. I made my own version of PRIDE, and now have it written out on a poster hung up on my ceiling, so it's the first thing I see when I wake up in the morning. The P stands for praying in every situation. Praying to God can remind me that I'm not alone in my struggles, and that God is there with me. As I pray to God, I feel like I have a friend that's easy to talk to, and there's someone that understands me, someone who cares, no matter what. In Philippians 4, verse 6, Paul tells the Philippians, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. That doesn't just go for the church in Philippi, that goes for us as well. The R stands for remembering that God is with me at all times. Sometimes that's kind of hard, but God makes sure we get back onto the right track. That's why we need the Bible and regular participation at church, so we can be regularly reminded of God's truth. Towards the end of the week, I always feel tired from school and its hardships. But then, once I go to church and meet in fellowship with other Christians, I once more feel revived and refreshed for a new week. God also reminds me of his presence using non-believers. Once, as I was sitting alone during lunch, deep in sorrowful, doubtful thoughts, a friend of mine came over, sat down with me, and offered me a homemade mini cheesecake. I then remembered that I wasn't alone. God is always with me, looking out for me. In Joshua 1 verse 9 it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." The I stands for inspiring others. This can mean many things. Sometimes it can mean breaking the negative stereotypes about Christians and their beliefs. One example of that is that Christians don't think women are important in the Bible. I have been able to explain to them that that is absolutely not true. One of my favorite examples, of course, is Lydia of Thyatira, who is the first documented European Christian, as well as a significant member of the early church. Other times, inspiring others can mean to be more like Jesus, showing compassion and all the fruit of the Spirit, like Miss Debbie talked about. That also means to be respectful to my teachers, not using coarse language, and being diligent in my studies. When I live throughout the day, I don't want to give in to the world's allurement. I want to stay firm in my faith and live like Jesus. As Ephesians 4 verse 15 says, "Speak the truth in love, growing to become, in every respect, the body of him who is the head, that is, Christ." The D stands for defending myself, with God's help, against sin. Sin can be tempting. At many times, sinful choices are much easier and more self-pleasing than the right ones. As I mentioned earlier, I often like to keep the armor of God in mind as I live throughout the school day. When I defend myself against sin and fight against the devil's lies, I can use the sword of the Spirit to guide me. This is especially helpful when there's a lesson at school where its teachings don't agree with the Bible's. That's when I unsheathe the sword of the Spirit or take up my Bible and find what God says is true. Finally, the E stands for enduring life's hardships, being faithful to the Lord and full of joy. Being full of joy during a pandemic is hard, especially when we have other things going on in life as well. But just remember what it says in Psalm chapter 118, verses 24. "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is a true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." As a speaker at a camp my mom went to when she was in middle school put it, "Be a thermostat, not a thermometer." That means that we should not be changed and morphed based on our environment and the people we surround ourselves with. Like a thermometer measures the temperature of the surrounding air, but we should be like a thermostat, changing and affecting its environment according to God's priorities and truth. We don't have to give in to the temptations of the world around us. Instead, we can stay strong in our faith, knowing that God is alongside us, and we can inspire others to do the same. So I encourage you today to go out into the world with God's help and be a thermostat.
And we'll begin.